please rise for the benediction by Rabbi Klein, the invocation of Sarah.
Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, our God and God of our fathers, we ask for your blessing for us all. May we ever be inspired to follow your law, to fulfill our faith. This evening, the work of our hands will truly be established. May you continue to help us reap the fruits of our labors. May the leaders of this synagogue and all its members always be guided to further the values and the goals of our heritage. May the Lord give strength to us all. May he bless us with satisfaction and with peace. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the 129th annual meeting of the temple. I'm delighted to see such a fine audience this evening. To be perfectly honest, we were somewhat concerned that we might not have a real heavy crowd this evening. The last 3 years we've had a fine audience, but each of those years we have built our program around the tribute or honor to one single individual. Leo Bamberger, Miriam Likens, and Rabbi Silver. So we weren't sure whether this evening we would have all that big a crowd. I assume that the reason you're all here is to, in expectation of the fine show that Edith Garver and her troupe are going to give us later this evening. I have it on the highest authority that she has come up with a super show this year, so you'll be well rewarded, I'm sure, but you'll have to wait a little while. Before we start the program, I would like to introduce the people on the podium to you. On my right, your left, starting, Alan Kendis, Associate Treasurer of the Temple. Norman Clivens, Vice President of the Temple. Robert Gordon. And Charles Evans, Vice President of the Temple. Ernie Siegler, a longtime Temple Board member and Chairman of our Nominating Committee. And Bernard Goodman, our temple treasurer. In reviewing the highlights of our temple year, I believe it is fair to say that this has been a year of solid achievement and growth. Now, presidents of organizations are always supposed to start their annual reports with a very positive, optimistic statement like that. But I can assure you, I really mean it. One of the most interesting and new projects started during the past year was our services to older members. One phase of this program was transportation for Sunday morning services sponsored by our Temple Men's Club. A special RTA bus provided the transportation for residents of Council Gardens to and from the branch on Sundays. This was a successful program which served a real need for those who otherwise would not be able to attend a religious service. They were deeply grateful to the temple and the men's club for providing this service. The men's club is planning to extend the transportation service to other areas next year. Our new Committee on Services to Older Members, under the leadership of Sanford Sugarman, also has been very active in planning and organizing activities for our older members this year. It conducted a detailed survey of their needs and sponsored a very successful luncheon program for these older members at the main temple a few weeks ago. Other programs are planned for the coming months. This project is reintegrating our older members into temple activities and enriching their lives. Many of them have not been able to come to temple for a long time because of lack of transportation. One of our major successes this year was our third annual Coping Lecture Series. The problems of adulthood were dealt with in 6 Monday evening lectures by outstanding local professionals in the field of social work, psychiatry, and religion. Rabbi Silver delivered the final lecture of the series. Coping had excellent attendance by our members and many people throughout the community. Our Mr. and Mrs. Club planned and sponsored this fine series. Our first Friday programs this year were probably the finest as a group that we have ever had. Outstanding thinkers like Dr. Rosalind Yalow, the Nobel laureate, Dr. Bernard Lewis, the expert on Arab affairs, Dr. Henry Rosowski, Dean of the Harvard faculty, and Dr. Yuri Bronfenbrenner, the noted psychologist, gave us new insights and stimulated our thinking. There were fine musical programs of excellent quality. The New Cleveland Opera Company, the Cleveland Ballet, and violinist Miriam Fried. Tom Mann, our chairman of First Friday, did a very effective job of arranging these stimulating evenings. Financial grants by Temple members helped to fund First Friday. Additional gifts are always welcome and needed. There have been two important changes in our Temple professional staff this year. Beth Dwoskin is completing her first year as our librarian, and she has performed her duties extremely well. Beth played a major role in putting together the very fine photographic history exhibit of the Temple with Herbert Asherman, and you'll all have an opportunity to see this after the meeting in the all-purpose room. Al Kronig, our executive secretary, is also completing his first year in that position. Al has brought many talents to his job, and he has been very effective in learning the many details involved in administering the business functions of the Temple. Al also has the ability to get along with people, which is a vital asset for any Temple administrator. Under the leadership of Robert Kindis, who is serving his first year as membership chairman, we have had a very successful membership year. 62 new families have joined the Temple this year. Our summer membership campaign is now underway, and we ask your help in giving us the names of any unaffiliated families whom you may know for our membership campaign. Young couples, new arrivals from out of town are all good prospects for Temple membership. You'll soon receive a letter with a reply card in the mail asking for names of prospective members, and we would appreciate it if you would help our membership campaign by filling out the card and returning it promptly. You may have noticed the construction going on at the south end of the branch. This is our new kitchen, which was started just a few weeks ago. It is the culmination of a year of very careful planning by our kitchen building committee, co-chaired by Charles Evans and Homer Gurin. Construction should be completed by September. It will be a welcome and needed addition to the branch. And a little later in the program, Chuck Evans will give you a detailed report on the new kitchen addition. Sometimes we become so immersed in the details of Temple programming and building repairs or Temple financial problems that we tend to lose sight of the really basic business of a Temple. Worship, religious education, counseling, and ministering to the pastoral needs and the life cycle events of our members. My observation leads me to believe that our rabbis deserve very high marks in these various important areas. I recently attended our Hebrew school graduation exercises and our high school graduation and our confirmation service this past Friday. Anyone who attended these services could not fail to be very deeply impressed with the quality of the training these graduates have received in our religious school and our high school. We are certainly fulfilling our responsibility to pass on an appreciation and knowledge of our Jewish heritage to the next generation. Temple members frequently tell me how appreciative they are of the help they've received from one of our rabbis through counseling or a pastoral visit. Our worship services are beautiful and dignified, and the sermons of Rabbi Silver are thought-provoking and stimulating. I want to compliment and thank Rabbi Silver, Rabbi Geller, and Rabbi Klein on your behalf for the outstanding work they each are doing for our congregation. And now I would like to take a look ahead to next year. As you know, Rabbi Silver will be leaving shortly after Yom Kippur, next October, on his sabbatical leave of about 6 months. This will be his first leave in his 23 years of service at the temple. He has been honored by an appointment as scholar in residence at the Center for Hebrew Studies at Oxford University. We all share his pride in this very prestigious appointment, and we wish him and Adele an enjoyable and productive leave of absence. The period of their absence will be a challenging one for the temple, but I am confident that we shall be equal to the task. A great deal of planning has already been done. Most of the Sunday morning sermons next year will be delivered by a number of excellent guest speakers. We shall appreciate and are depending on your support and participation in temple life during this period. I want to thank the entire temple staff for their loyal and dedicated work this year. I also want to recognize the enthusiastic work of our unpaid staff, the temple officers, the leadership of the men's club, the women's association, and the Mr. and Mrs. Club, and our committee chairman and committee workers, as well as the temple usher corps. They have all helped immeasurably to make this a most successful year. In closing, I appreciate your support of the temple, and it's again been an honor to serve this year as your president. Thank you. At this time, I would like to introduce Bernard Goodman, our temple treasurer and chairman of our finance committee, who will give the annual financial report of the temple.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to share a little personal note with you first. Perhaps some of you have noticed my new glasses. I wanted to call those to your attention because 4 years ago, when I was elected treasurer and during the ensuing years, I've heard a number of comments of people who said that I look a little bit old to be the treasurer of the temple. As a result of this, with the help of my fine wife, and due to the fact that I'm getting younger each year, I found it necessary to obtain these fine glasses in order to be able to examine some of the financial information of the temple. I hope you'll excuse them, but unfortunately, as I'm getting younger each year, they're becoming more necessary. I'm really pleased to stand before you tonight to report on the sound financial condition of the temple, both from a balance sheet point of view and an operating point of view. From an operating point of view, this past year was the ninth consecutive year that the operating income of the temple was equal to or greater than its operating expenses. In large part, this came about because of good planning and tight control exercised by the fine temple staff. In small part, it came about because of good fortune. This good fortune was in the rental situation at the main temple. Many of you may not be aware, but virtually a large part of the main temple building is rented out to several tenants. One of these tenants, the Positive Education Program School, which is a partially federally funded school, paid more rent this last year because they took on more space than they had for the prior year. And this additional income of approximately $13,000 offset some unexpected increases in the operating budget of approximately the same amount. These increases related mainly to snow plowing expenses and certain repairs which were not properly capitalized. As a result, the operating budget remained on a balanced basis. The operating budget was scheduled to be $630,000. Actual expenses were approximately $645,000. The operating budget for the forthcoming fiscal year starting July 1 is projected to be approximately $665,000. That's a lot of money. This is an increase of only 6% over the amount budgeted for the current year and includes an inflationary increase of 7% for Temple staff members. This budget is to be presented to the Board of Trustees of the Temple this month for its consideration and hopefully approval. I think you ought to know that the budget was arrived at through the efforts of a fine, hardworking budget committee composed of 10 Temple members who met every week at 8 a.m., which was a tough time for some, for 6 weeks with members of the Temple staff and carefully reviewed with them every aspect of the operations of the Temple as it affected and impacted on the budget. The budget committee and the staff members carefully analyzed prior year expenditures and anticipated needs. This entire process was then condensed into financial documentation, which was presented to the entire Temple Finance Committee, which met this past week, again at 8 a.m., to review the recommendations of the budget committee. After a thoughtful and questioning review of these recommendations and a discussion, the Finance Committee unanimously approved the recommendations and has urged the Temple Board to adopt these recommendations at the June Board meeting. I tell you all this so that you'll know that the budget of the Temple is not treated in an offhand manner. It is very carefully analyzed, and there's a lot of hard work that goes into the makeup of it. One of the difficult but necessary considerations in any budgeting process is not only appropriate consideration of the expenditure side of the ledger and appropriate limitations on costs consistent with good service, but also the concern with the income side. With a budget in the area of $630,000 for this year, an increase of only 6% means an increase of $36,000. We have reviewed all possible avenues of revenue, but are unable to find any internal means to cover this increase, nor do we have any operating surplus or carryovers available from prior years. Your board, your finance committee, and your budget committee is firmly committed to the principle that the Temple will not borrow or otherwise operate on a deficit financing basis for purposes of operating expenses. We know that you appreciate and we hope that you agree with this principle. As you will hear shortly, one of the means being utilized to cover the operating deficit is the institution of a new fair share dues campaign. However, we also believe that every Temple member has the responsibility to share in the obligation to maintain the Temple as the fine institution that it is and has been for many years. The current standard dues is $415 per year. The Budget Committee and the Finance Committee has recommended to the Board that these dues be increased by $25 per year to $440. This represents an increase of slightly less than 6% and will be the first increase in 3 years. We are all painfully aware of the fact that inflation appears to be a part of our economy, and therefore we can expect continually increasing costs of Temple operation. In that connection, we believe the membership will also have to expect increasing dues on a regular basis in order to maintain the balanced budget concept. I think you should know, however, that our dues still are consistent with the dues of other congregations in the community. Now, I also told you that the financial condition of the Temple is sound not only from the operating point of view, but also from a balance sheet point of view. Most of you have probably seen the commencement of construction of the kitchen addition. Many of you are probably wondering, how is this to be paid for? I am pleased to be able to tell you that the financing of the kitchen addition is available from cash on hand. These funds emanated basically from two sources. In the first place, our highly successful mortgage redemption campaign not only produced commitments sufficient to liquidate the mortgage, but many members paid their commitments early rather than spreading them over the allotted 4-year period. This allowed early payment to be made on the mortgage in substantial amounts, which reduced the interest factor, and accordingly, funds were accumulated. In addition, the standard assessments of new members for capital and building funds have accumulated over a number of years. Of course, a substantial amount of the cost of the kitchen, including the cost of virtually all of the necessary kitchen equipment, and this is expensive, was raised by the women of the Temple a year ago in their kickoff drive with the Temple Mesquite program. Naturally, we do not want those who still owe a balance on their mortgage redemption pledge to think that we don't need their money, because we do, since the Temple Replacement Reserve Fund has been depleted and needs to be rebuilt from the balance of these contributions. And now for another important aspect of the Temple's financial condition, I would like to call on someone who has personally been and who represents a financial institution which is a good friend to the Temple. The Shaker Savings Association was instrumental in providing the mortgage funds required for the construction of this branch building at a time when it would not have been easy to obtain those funds elsewhere, and at an interest rate and other terms which made it comfortable for the Temple to construct this very fine building. Lauren Mintz, the president of Shaker Savings Association, through all these years has been our helper and our advisor in all of these matters. And it is with great pleasure that I would ask Lauren if he would please step forward at this time. Lauren, I have here a rather small check. This was written by somebody who also needs glasses and represents the Temple's payment. It looks so good it may be negotiable, Lauren, for the Shaker Savings Association mortgage on this branch building. And on behalf of the Temple, I'd like to tender that to you.
Thank you very much, Bernie. I'd like to hand over a symbolic mortgage to you so that you can burn it.
This isn't hokey, this is for real.
On behalf of Shaker Savings, we're very pleased to be a minor part in this construction and financing of this beautiful building. We're very pleased to do it, and we were pleased that the Temple was in a position to accelerate the payment of the mortgage. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie and Lauren. I also want to thank the very talented forger who wrote that check. It's Mina Culber, and Mina's a pro. Bob Gordon is a member of our Temple Board and chairman of our Fair Share Dues Committee. Many of you have heard of Fair Share, I'm sure, but I'd like to have Bob give you a brief report on the latest developments of our Fair Share Dues campaign. Robert?
Thank you, Jim. I notice we're thanking a lot of people tonight. I would just like to thank he or she who's responsible for giving us this lovely day, typical of Cleveland on Sunday. Thank you. I am speaking to you this evening to introduce the idea of fair share, the purpose of it, the necessity of it, so that you will have some time to ponder, if you will, to what extent you will participate. The temple, as Bernie has indicated to you, has operated on a break-even, balanced budget over the past 9 years. This has been no mean accomplishment during a period of dramatically rising costs that I know you're all familiar with. The philosophy of the Finance Committee has been that the temple operate on a balanced budget. But our base dues does not provide sufficient income to do this. And yet our budget, as Bernie has explained, is rigidly controlled. Our approach to the budget has been businesslike. We have asked for and has received accountability. And we look for cost effectiveness. And yet we understand, and I hope you share this feeling with us, that the temple is not a business. It cannot be run strictly on the same kind of principles and continue to maintain the standards and services demanded of the temple by you, its congregation. Therefore, a substantial portion of the increased income that is needed must come from a voluntary, fair share contribution. Today, the temple has approximately 375 members who pay more than standard dues. Approximately 200 of these families are participating now in fair share program. But we also have 625 families who are averaging $125 a year in dues because of their unfortunately limited means. The fair share program is simple and practical. It is functioning successfully in the communities across the country. Over 75% of Reformed temples in the United States maintain a fair share program. It is the Judaic way, appealing to one's sense of fairness and dignity. A fair share committee has been formed, which has some short-term and long-term goals for this new fiscal year. One, a minimum of 100 families at the $1,000 dues fee. A minimum of 100 families at the $800 dues level, adding a minimum of another 50 families to the fair share program who are not now participating in it. The voluntary fair share program must grow. It must have a continually broadening base of families. This should be our long-range goal. It will continue to remain a voluntary program, but our membership must be aware it exists and, when ready, to participate in it. On a personal note, let me tell you that I have a 14-year-old son named Joshua. He has a great awareness and cares about some of today's problems and issues: air and water pollution, nuclear low-level radiation, chemical additives in the food and on the land. And he would like my generation to take full responsibility for all of these. We have, you know, many lively discussions about these issues and who's responsible. The young Jewish children represent the future of our faith. And we have the recognizable responsibility to leave them without deficits. Not just financial deficits with regard to our temple, but in standards and quality within our temple. I hope you will do your fair share to uphold this responsibility. Get in the spirit. call the Secretary of the Temple, Al Kronig, and join with us in fair share, and respond positively if called by a fair share volunteer. Thank you.
Thanks very much for a fine report, Bob. At this time, I would like to call on our Vice President, Chuck Evans, who is co-chairman of our Kitchen Building Committee and was chairman of the original building committee that built this branch. Chuck, I know, will have an interesting update for us on the progress of our new kitchen construction. Chuck?
There was, as usual, very little coordination in the remarks to be made by Jim Rich and Bernie Goodman and myself, and I scratched out about 2 1/4 pages of notes here and find that about 1 1/2 pages of them have already been taken care of by these two capable gentlemen. But let me repeat something that Jim said, because it's so important if you, regarding a kitchen. When you drive in the through Shaker Boulevard, you don't see it, so that if you would, in fact, walk around to the back of the all-purpose room, you'll see quite a number of plastic pipes sticking up out of the torn-up ground, and you'll also see quite a number of bricks and blocks being stacked up out there. This simply means that our kitchen is taking shape. In several months, you will be able to walk from the all-purpose room into the new kitchen and turn on the burners. To go back just a little bit, it was the cries of anguish from the ladies of the Temple Women's Association that first made us all aware of the need for a proper kitchen here at the branch. Then it was, as was stated earlier, the substantial block of money raised by Mosquite that propelled us into slow but more or less steady action. We put together a good committee consisting of Lois Horvitz, Helen Sadiger, Claire Shaw, Donna Sperber, Mary Tepper, and co-chaired by Homer Gurin. I can't recall whether I've reported to you before on this project. I probably have, but let me tell you, the work actually started on this in March of 1978. It does sound impossible to take that long, but here we are in the first part of June of 79. The planning was lengthy, and hopefully it will prove to have been thorough. It was during this planning process that we added a conference and coffee room, which we think will be of great use to the temple membership, plus some very greatly needed storage space. We were fortunate to have our own Jim Herman of the architectural firm of Weinberg Tieren Herman as our architect, and to have the construction contract with Siegler & Company, who were the builders of this branch. Two very good breaks for the temple. As Jim told you, construction actually started April 25th and is proceeding at a good pace. Jim did ask me to report on the kitchen. I thought to myself, well, what more can I say about a kitchen? It's going to work. It's going to be an excellent addition for the temple. It will certainly, I hope, silence the cries of the people who said, you know, where are we going to do this work, and how are we going to cook, and how are we going to get it done? And we're quite sure that we will be able to accomplish that. As has already been said to you, but I want to repeat it again, of interest to all of us is that there was no deficit financing involved. No debt was created. In addition to Mosquito, as you know, the money for the project came principally from building fund payments, and maybe more grateful, principally because so many thoughtful temple members paid their mortgage redemption pledges early, and in fact saved us an awful lot of interest money, and made this the construction of the kitchen possible in the way that is being done. I think I should add, it was our objective, and I believe you'll find when this is completed, to follow the architecture and the look of the branch of which we're so proud. We've carried this out and are carrying it out in the kitchen, and when it's completed, I think we'll all be very happy with it.
As I mentioned before, Ernie Sigler, a longtime member of our Temple Board, has agreed to chair our nominating committee this year, and I'd like to call Ernie to the podium at this time for the nominating committee report.
Thank you. Mr. President, as I came here this evening, I was handed an agenda. And I happen to see on the agenda that this is the 129th annual meeting. I'm very impressed. I don't know about the rest of you, but I was impressed reading that. 129th annual meeting. That has nothing to do with my nominating committee report. In accordance with the provisions of the Constitution and bylaws, 12 members are to be elected to the Board of Trustees of the Temple for a term of 3 years. After careful consideration, your nominating committee submits for your approval the following nominees to fill these offices: Charles Evans, Alan Friedman, Steve Joseph, Robert Kendis, Irving Leonard, Robert Lustig, Milton Meltz, Thomas Mann, Norma Markowitz, Dr. Dieter Myers, Harvey Sachs, Myra White, to represent the Temple Women's Association on the Temple Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year. The following three nominees have been recommended by the Temple Women's Association: Lucy Eckstein, Ethel Kendis, and Bubbles Whitman, to represent the Temple Men's Club on the Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year. The following three nominees have been recommended by the Temple Men's Club: Gary Schwartz, Fred Rifshin, Louis Sternberg, to represent the Temple Mr. and Mrs. Club for a term of 1 year. The following two nominees have been recommended: Beverly Kendis and David Sadiger, to represent the Religious School Board on the Board of Trustees for a term of 1 year. The following nominee has been recommended: Dr. Aaron Billowitz. In accordance with the provisions of the Constitution and bylaws, the nominating committee submits for your approval the following nominees as officers of the Temple: Associate Treasurer Robert Gordon, Treasurer Bernard D. Goodman, Vice Presidents Claire Shaw, Homer Gurin, Charles M. Evans. And after very, very little consideration, we've decided to re-elect the President, Jimmy Rich. This has been submitted by the nominating committee, composed of Betsy Sampleiner, Norma Markowitz, Dr. Belden D. Goldman, Myron Eckstein, Dr. Marvin Dorfman, Alan Friedman, and myself as the chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move for the election of the following officers and nominees.
Do we have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Ernie, I thank you for a fine report and fine job, and I thank your committee as well. On behalf of myself and my fellow officers, I want to thank you for the confidence you've expressed by re-electing us and electing our new officers as well. We'll try to fulfill your fondest hopes in the job that we do during the coming year. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome the new board members to the Temple Board. We're mighty glad to have you. You may have noticed that two of the newly elected officers are new. And they are Bob Gordon, our new Associate Treasurer. Bob has been on our Temple Board for several years. As I mentioned, he is co-chairman of our Fair Share Dues Committee. And he is also chairman of our Temple Investment Committee, in which he's doing a fine job. The other new officer
(clears
is Homer Gurren, a new vice president. Homer is serving his second term on our Temple board. He is co-chairman with Chuck Evans, of course, on the Temple Building Committee, and is chairman of the Fair Share Dues Committee with Bob Gordon. There are two retiring officers. One of those is Alan Kendis, our former associate treasurer. Alan has served for 3 years as associate treasurer and has done a very, very outstanding job. Alan, for many years, has been a hard worker for the temple and a strong supporter. And I would like to call him forward at this time. Alan, we have a print of the temple here, which I want to present to you. It's framed very expensively and handsomely. A very nice print of the main temple, and it's inscribed as follows. To Alan D. Kendis, in grateful appreciation for devoted service as Associate Treasurer of the Temple, 1976 to 1979.
Thank you very, very much.
And I would like to call Norm Clivens forward at this time. Norm has served for the past 4 years as Vice President of the Temple, and for a number of years before that as Chairman of our Finance Committee and in many other posts. I don't know of anyone who has been a stronger worker and stronger supporter of the Temple over so long a period of time as Norm. Norm, I also have a print for you inscribed as follows. To Norman R. Clivens, in grateful appreciation for devoted service as Vice President of the Temple, 1975 to 1979.
Thanks very much.
And I have something else, too. I have here in my hot little hands a resolution which was passed by the Temple Board at its last meeting, and it reads as follows. Whereas Norman R. Clivens has served as Vice President of the Temple for 4 years, and for 6 years as Chairman of our Finance Committee, and has devoted with great success his unbounded energy and superb financial skill throughout this period to the well-being of our congregation. Whereas under his leadership as General Chairman of the Mortgage Redemption Campaign, the sums necessary to eliminate our debt on the branch were raised. Whereas as a trustee of the United Jewish Cemeteries and as treasurer of that board, he has established long-range financial plans to assure the future of Mayfield Cemetery. Whereas he has been not only a faithful and devoted leader of the temple, but a regular and faithful member of the worshiping congregation. Whereas he has brought to our congregational life not only great energy and skill, but an open heart and a perceptive mind which have assisted us through many demanding times. Be it resolved that the temple officially expresses its gratitude to him, and to that end now elects Norman R. Clivens as an honorary life trustee of the Congregational Board, adopted by the Temple Board of Trustees at Cleveland, Ohio, May 8, 1979, and duly signed by Rabbi Daniel Jeremy Silver and President James M. Rich to make it official. I congratulate you.
I didn't plan to say anything. I'm overwhelmed by these kind remarks. I must admit most of them are earned. And whereas it wasn't all fun and games, I say this bit here about, you know, coming to worship often is another event that's meant a lot to me and my family during this time. I appreciate these remarks. Okay.
Thank you. Lest Allen and Norman think that they can now rest on their laurels, let me correct that right now. We expect to have both of them around there in a very active capacity for a long time to come, and I know that they will be. They have a lot of talent to offer the temple. At this time, I would like to call on Rabbi Daniel Silver for his remarks. No annual meeting of the temple would be complete without a word from the rabbi.
Jim, thank you very much, and Alan and Norman, may I add my congratulations and thanks to those of the congregation. I think for the first time in all my years here, I am a little bit at a loss for words, which is a very dangerous position for a rabbi to be in. Because how do you explain to a congregation, your congregation, a congregation of friends, that you're going to fly the coop for the next year? Dell and I are leaving right after the holidays. We're going to spend the first part of our sabbatical leave in Oxford, as you've heard. We're going to travel for the rest. And I think I owe you a word of understanding as to what it is that we hope to accomplish, besides some good times and some interesting visits and a chance to refresh ourselves. In the press of the rabbinate, in the press of any occupation, when the telephone rings every few minutes or so, when the week is filled up with meetings, when there are a whole variety of lectures and speeches and sermons that need to be prepared and time needs to be made to be available for counseling or other reasons, it's very hard to do that kind of consistent, hard thinking which forward planning requires. We've been very lucky these last 20 years or so at the temple. They've been good years. They've been years in which we faced up to the problems of building a branch, to creating a novel situation for congregations instead of simply picking up roots and leaving everything behind. And it's proven to be a valid and viable and important undertaking. We have begun to do rather remarkable things with our adult education. We have refined, redeveloped, restructured the curriculum of our religious school. We faced a period of decline in congregational membership, and we've lived through it with an increased sense of our own capacity. We knew that we were an aging congregation. We've begun to reverse that. And we now think are in a position, I believe, where we sense our strength, our vibrancy, and how important we are to each other. But there are going to be equally important decisions to be made in the years ahead. Cleveland is a difficult town in which to live. Jewish life is going to make increased demands of us. We're going to need encouragement. We're going to need understanding in a time of future shock, in a time of constant change. We're going to need to stay abreast of the demands made upon us by, thank God, the increased longevity of many of our members. We're going to need to face a world in which the family is threatened and to throw up supports for families who are members of the congregation. We're going to have to face a condition in which an increasing number of our people will be single, either single family parents or single unmarried singles, and need to be worked into the life of the congregation. In every decade or so, there are two or three critical decisions that need to be made, and on those decisions turn the success of a congregation. And I'd like to have a chance in the months ahead to step back and to try and think ahead to what we need to do so that our affiliates can have new vibrancy and new life, so that our school remains the exceptional place of instruction that it has been, and so that the worshiping congregation can become a larger congregation. Because as I look upon the activities of the temple, it is in the area of worship that we have the greatest distance to cover. We need to free ourselves of some of the inhibitions of the past to enjoy the warmth, the color, the opportunity, which is that of a worshiping congregation. And we need to find the ways in which the worship of this congregation can be expressed happily, eagerly, congregationally as a community. So what the thinking will be, I do not know. I hope to send back from time to time letters which can be printed in the temple bulletin so you can keep abreast of our wanderings and succor us if we find ourselves stuck in some godforsaken part of the world needing succor. But we'll be thinking of you, not every day, but at times. And when we come back, I hope to tell you a little bit at our next annual meeting what I've been thinking about. And slowly is our temple away, slowly, deliberately, thoughtfully, begin to introduce the changes that will need to be made for this congregation to reach its 150th year, which is as far as I care to think, with success, pleased with its own accomplishment, and secure that it has been an institution of significance to its members, to our Cleveland Jewish community, and to our wonderful people whom we call Israel. Thank you very much.
This concludes the business portion of our meeting, and now we get into what you all really came here for. I'd like to call on Edith Garber and her troupe for whatever it is they have to present to us. Edith, you're on.
Well, we're back again. Another production for the annual meeting of the temple. I guess if you don't do it right the first time, you just have to keep on till you do get it right. So we'll try harder this time. Now, you're going to remember these familiar faces. Here's Alan Zeilinger, Mina Culver, Marvin Dorfman, Marge Davidson, Stan Kramer, Elizabeth Davidson, and in her usual position at the piano, Maxine Cohn. Our sketch this evening is entitled Pots and Pans, a name with rather a double meaning. Yes, of course, Pots and Pans refers to the new kitchen, but it also refers to some potting and panning and poking fun at people in high places. So if you're a person in a high place, please be forewarned. Although this annual meeting is devoted to remembrances, we are going to concentrate our efforts on the comings and goings of this past year. We feel that's about as much as we can handle. So let's start with last September. The holidays, the enthusiasm, the excitement, a new year. September, as night follows day, so comes October. And with October, so comes the ever-popular coping series. People come for miles around to attend our coping meetings. Why? Because everyone has trouble coping. Coping with life and coping with death. Coping with youth and coping with old age. Everything has its problems, and everyone is trying to cope.
In October we have coping. It's a very bad break. And the crowds are here from year to year. They just can't wait. With the very finest speakers, everyone the world renowned. It is really clear that every year we.
heading into winter. And there isn't too much good that you can say about winter. 90% of the congregation is off to their condominiums in Florida. And that leaves the rest of us here to cope with all the ice and snow. Now that in itself wouldn't be so bad. But we have to cope also with the temple parking lot. And that is bad. We made it through another winter, and as it does every year, good news. Along comes spring. And with spring this year, even more good news. Ground was broken for our long-awaited kitchen. And our ladies will tell you about woman's place in the kitchen.
Wait to so long. The plants are all drawn. What?
set the woman's movement back about 25 years. Listen, girls, I think they need a little help in the kitchen for the July meeting. Could you give us a hand up there?
I'll send my husband.
It was ever thus. Well, that brings us already to next fall, and we all know how time flies. I'm sure that most of you, if you didn't know it before this evening, you certainly know it now, that Rabbi Dan is taking a sabbatical and will be off to Oxford. And talk about mixed emotions, talk about ambivalence. There are those who consider this a fantastic bit of news, but others who consider it quite a catastrophe. And each one of you know where you fit in. Now, here's a fella who claims to be President Jimmy. That's rich. Let's hear what he has to say.
My rabbi is going to Oxford. I need to teach and to learn. I'm left here to tend to the business. The temple is still my concern.
And here's a couple of other fellas. Seriously, folks, allow us at this time to express to you our deep and sincere esteem, our devotion and loyalty to a man of great stature, our senior rabbi, Daniel Jeremy Silver.
In the name of Jesus.
and now a different mood. This evening has been billed as an evening of remembrance, and we would like to do for you a song that we did once before at the 125th annual meeting. It certainly is appropriate this evening for the remembrance of this evening, and we think it expresses the feelings all of us have for the temple as we look back over the years. We end our year and our review on a high note. The big news, the burning of the mortgage. Oh, happy day.
Thank you. Edith, another fantastic performance. Thanks. This has been a wonderful evening, and I have just a few announcements to make before we break. We hope that you'll all visit our photographic history exhibit in the all-purpose room while you're having refreshments. I think it'll be a great nostalgic kick for everyone who has been around the temple for any length of time. You may have noticed on the invitation to this annual meeting that we said each family attending would get a free gift. Now, you probably thought that was just a gimmick to get you here. I can assure you it wasn't. We do have free gifts for each and every family. We have Volume 2 of Rabbi Abihail Silver's sermons, A Word in Its Season. It is Volume 2. Each family will get one of these as long as they hold out. If you have already purchased this in the past, we have an alternative gift for you, and that is Rabbi Silver's long-playing record, What is Judaism? A wonderful record. If you don't have it, you should have it in your collection. There are two tables out in the lobby manned by members of our Mr. and Mrs. Club, and you can stop at either table to pick up your gift before you leave this evening. Of course, everyone is invited for refreshments in the social hall. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Mary Tepper, Claire Shaw, and Rita Perlman and their committee for really a wonderful job in arranging the refreshments this evening. And now I would like to call on Rabbi Stuart Geller for the benediction. And thank you all for coming. Please rise for the benediction.
Scripture teaches us that the house of God shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The synagogue is the sanctuary of Israel. It was born out of Israel's longing for the living God. It has been for Israel throughout its long history a visible symbol of the presence of God in the midst of our people. We pray that as we rededicate this temple with our spiritual and physical support, that our endeavors ennoble the holy purposes of this sanctuary and this congregation. May God bless those who guide and serve this congregation and those who contribute to its strength. May God be with this congregation, with all its members and their families and their households. Be with them, O God, as thou wast with our fathers. Sanctify us all for thy service. Grant that the good seed we sow may ripen into a harvest of righteousness and truth. And let us all say, Amen.